Welcome to Update One, the new podcast from the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. Each month, we'll discuss various topics, including news, politics, entertainment, and sports. You'll find it all on Update One. What will it take to get the U.S. economy moving? That was the topic of a panel discussion recently at the Press Club. Afterwards, I spoke with one of the panelists, Stanford University economics professor John Taylor, a well-respected economist who has authored about a dozen books. Professor, there's been a lot of talk about the economy. I know you were part of a newsmaker event in which they talked about the economy and they talked about it being in second gear. How would you describe the U.S. economy?
Well, we're kind of crawling along, I would put it that way. It's like the car is not only in second gear, it's got a weight attached to it, which makes it hard to get up the kind of speed we've had in the past. The growth has been around 2% in this recovery, which is just in its fifth year. And that compares to over 5% in the early 80s recovery from an equally deep recession.
Are you optimistic we can improve on the 2%?
I am optimistic, but it's going to take some effort. I think the reason why the growth is slow is economic policy for the most part. There's been a degree of unpredictability about fiscal policy, what's going to happen with the budget, about monetary policy. There's also been a lot of increase in regulations in the economy. And when you look back in the past, when we've done those kinds of things, the economy hasn't done well, like in the 70s, way back when. And when we've got away from those policies, had more predictable policies about fiscal policy, dealing with our budget, monetary policy, which is predictable, if you like, less intervention on the regulations, cost-benefit analysis, then the economy does better. So I'm optimistic because, in a way, if the problem is policy, then you can change policy and things will be better.
Is this just a case of Capitol Hill and the lawmakers in Washington agreeing more on fiscal policy?
Oh, that's definitely part of it. But remember, the reason for the disagreement is difference of opinion about what should be done. And I think the hope here is by more discussions like this, people can say, hey, this worked in the past or this worked at that time. And so let's move in that direction. Of course, there's going to be some compromises. But, you know, take, for example, the importance of a budget and if you like, to reduce the growth of spending down the road. There's an agreement that we need to do that. Otherwise, the debt will rise too rapidly and the economy will be sluggish. But there's disagreement about how to go about it. So that you take the agreement and try to form a compromise. But you can't give up on the important notion that we need to deal with the problem.
Now, you mentioned 2% growth. Looking ahead, are you optimistic the economy will show better than a 2% growth rate?
Well, I think it will be an improvement. But that in itself is not a reason for optimism, I'm afraid, because we need to do a lot better than just a little better. Job growth is not even enough to employ the growing population. The fraction of the working age population that is actually working is less now than at the beginning of this recovery. So we really need more than just a little improvement. It's good to get an improvement, but we need much more than that. And so in a way, I'm optimistic there's going to be improvement, but I'm pessimistic that we are not going to do what we actually can do.
You mentioned job growth. On the other hand, I know a lot of unemployed workers have given up their search. What is more prevalent? Is it the job growth or the fact the unemployed workers, some anyway, are no longer searching for employment?
Well, one way to answer that question is to ask, what would the unemployment rate be if so many people had not dropped out of the labor force, had not stopped looking for work? And best guess is it could be 9-10% rather than in the mid-7%. So it makes quite a bit of difference. And it's important to take that into account because the unemployment rate can be somewhat misleading because people don't realize you only count people who are looking for work. And if you've dropped out of looking for work and you're discouraged, then you're not even counted as unemployed.
What about productivity? This year and beyond, do you see any increases in productivity anywhere?
Yeah, no, definitely. There's a lot of things to be positive about in the economy. You see the technology is there, lots of opportunities with the use of computers, the internet, energy in particular, the different kinds of drilling we can do. So yes, there's opportunities, but without sort of a pickup in growth, a pickup in consumer demand and investment demand, exports abroad, you're not going to be able to if you like, take advantage of that improvement and have higher wages, if you like, lower unemployment. And so I think it's a positive thing, but it's not going to be enough.
Do you foresee mortgage rates continuing to go up? Obviously, the housing market, a big part of the economy. Do you see that upward trend continuing?
Ultimately, yes, rates will rise. But at this point, I think for the foreseeable future is really uncertainty about what the rates will be. And there's also an impact abroad. These policies are impacting countries like India and Brazil, and that can feed back on the United States as well.
Asia's been going through a tough time. How much of that is related to the U.S. economy?
Well, I think some of it is. The quantitative easing, these unprecedented, unorthodox policies of the Fed have actually made policy more difficult for these emerging market countries. It's really, at first, the very low rates here encouraged a flow of capital to those countries, and now it's coming back really fast. So it's like kind of a boom bust that's being caused in those countries, and it's a concern.
As we wrap up here, Dr. Taylor, looking ahead, any idea how long it might take? I know you had talked returning to normal. Any idea how long that might take if we ever do reach normal again?
Well, the last part of your question is so important. Probably my biggest concern is people will never go back to normal, and that would be damaging to the economy. So I'm still optimistic we will get back to normal. The time, it depends on political will. It depends on attitude about how important it is. There's some historical experience, if I might add. In the 1970s, monetary policy was also viewed as something that had to be changed. By the mid-70s, and the economy wasn't doing well, and unemployment was rising. Even inflation was rising then. But it took a good 5 years before something was done about it, and people got the, if you like, the courage to make the big changes. So I don't think we're quite there yet. I'm hoping it will come, and it won't take 5 years, but it's not going to be overnight either.
I know you mentioned in the early 80s, growth rate of 5.2%, I think you said.
Yes.
Now 2.2. Is it a case of the standards changing over the years, different policies, different thought process?
I think it's different policies. I hope it's not different standards, because I think this economy can do much better if people get the right policies. But yes, I see different policies, and I've just published a paperback version of my book, First Principles, Five Keys to Restoring America's Prosperity, and it looks at the differences in policies in different periods of time. And I think when you do that, and do it objectively, it doesn't need to be political. It doesn't need to be partisan. Both political parties have times where they've done well, and both political parties have times when they've done poorly. But if you look at the facts, I can see pretty clearly what needs to be done.
Dr. Taylor, appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us on Update One.
Thank you very much.
That's Stanford University economics professor John Taylor discussing the state of the U.S. economy. Is press freedom something of the past? Are federal public affairs offices hindering more than helping the cause of open government? That's the topic of next month's Update One. For more information about the upcoming podcast, or to offer feedback on this podcast, you can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/PressClubDC, or follow us on Twitter at PressClubDC. You also can join the National Press Club group on LinkedIn. I'm Mike Hempen. Thanks for listening to Update One.